How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Amen. Well, as you know, that this has been our subject, and I'm trying to get to the end, and on Sunday, we dealt with don't waste words and how to avoid being ensnared by your words, and being especially sensitive to the words of God, and being aware of the deceptive talk of the hedonist, who with fair speeches lie in wait to deceive many. And then we really pitch camp on this one, that there are some talkers that must be silenced. These scriptures, they are unruly, and they are vain talkers, and they are deceivers, and their mouths must be stopped. And then on Sunday, we spent most of our time on this section and applying it as it relates to the Da Vinci Code, the book and the movie, which the movie is being released on the 19th of May. And I want you to learn how to silence those who we get in conversations about the Da Vinci Code. We need to take a stand. And so that's where we left off. Tonight, we're going to try and get through this, so if we don't, that's fine. We'll continue it next Wednesday night. But here's number 42, and it's on the tail end of your notes on one sheet, and you can just start another page you want and make sure you put it next to your notes. Learn to pray when others speak against you. We are learning points in the Bible about talking. And one of the important things in all of life is to learn how to biblically respond to what is taking place in your life and what is taking place around you. And if we know how the biblical response is and do that, then we reap the tremendous benefits that come from being guided by wisdom, which is seeing and responding to life situations from God's point of view. Well, when somebody speaks against you, what do you do? So the biblical instruction is that we are to pray. And so, let's look at the scripture. They compass me about with words of hatred. They don't even have a good cause, but they're fighting against me. They are my adversaries. But David learned a New Testament secret. But I give myself unto prayer. There are a lot of circumstances in life which are not nice. The question is, how do we respond to the stuff that's taking place around us that's not nice? And I'm going to suggest to you that the biblical response so frequently, in fact, almost entirely, is to use the stuff that's coming against you as a signal to draw close to God. Well, how can one draw close to God but by prayer and by the reading of His Word? I love this phrase that the Apostle Paul gave us. And it's simply this: in everything, by prayer. Prayer should be so immediate a response in our life when stuff is happening. But I ought to go to prayer right away. The worse the circumstance in your life, the stronger the signal to get to God. don't let the circumstance of your life take you away from God, but let them lead you to God. It is a great secret to be learned. Use the circumstances of life as a signal. The fellowship with God. Now, I don't know whether David was right about this. It doesn't fit my theology. But do you recall when he was walking across the field one day and a guy came out? He only had one other person with him, his armor bearer. An armor bearer was sort of like golf caddy, I guess. Caddy carries your golf clubs, and armor bearer carries your sword. I don't know. But David and his armor bearer are trucking down the road. And this guy comes out and starts to curse David. And the armor bearer says, "Let's go kill him." And David said, "No." Now, I disagree with David's theology here, plain and simple. But this is what David said. And this is what David thought. And this is what he said. "Don't hurt him, for God hath bidden him curse me." Now, I personally don't believe that God bids anybody curse anybody. So, that's my theology. But David fought that for some reason. And I want to help David's theology out a little bit by cushioning it with this insight. That David was taking an adverse situation and allowing it to bring him closer to God. This has happened to me because God is having it happen to me. So don't hurt that guy. What I need to do, David is saying, is get to God. Now, it is contrary to my theology to hold the view that God authors bad things to happen to good people. But it is acceptable in my theology that God allows bad things to happen to good people for the purpose of causing us to draw close to the Lord. I can't find scripture to support I think it's a very wrong view that God authors things against you. He is for you and never against you. I also know, however, that God takes what the enemy meant for evil and makes it work for your good. So if stuff is coming against you that appears to be damaging, then the question simply is, what good can come out of this? What good does God want to come out of this? And I suggest to you that when everybody's coming against you and people are talking against you, or you're misunderstood, or the opposition is all lined up, that the very best good that can come out of those circumstances is that you use those things as a signal to get to God. Amen. To draw close to Him. To shut yourself in with Him. That's what David, look at this. Dude. They compass me about. And they not only compass me about, but they use words of hatred. And they were against me. But David's response, "But I give myself unto prayer." Now this is parallel to Jesus' teaching. He said, "Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So, if someone talks, these are talking points. If someone talks against you, you use this as an opportunity, as a signal to pray. Hallelujah. I tell you, dear friends, that if you will do this, you will be indomitable. No enemy will conquer you. Because everything that rises up against you simply signals you to go to your source, who is greater than everything that's out there that the enemy's got. He is greater in consolation. He is greater in wisdom. He is greater in insight. He is greater in his instruction. He is greater in knowledge. There isn't anything you need that he doesn't have, and he wants to lavish it upon us. But when people speak against us, the tendency would be to speak back. Or second tendency is to defend ourselves. And if you defend yourself, God will let you. But if instead we learn that when people talk against us, to use that as a signal to pray. Now, I want to show you a phrase in the scripture that to me is astounding. For having said this, that you may be children of your Father. For when you were a child and someone did something against you, what did you do? What did you do? You went to your dad. Dad, look at what they did to me. You know what that... And Dad picks up the cause. And Dad will adjudicate the matter. And by the way, Dad will say, well, what did you do, son? And he'll do an investigation too. But as a child goes to his father, that's exactly what we do. Dear friends, do not sell yourself short by failing to act like a child going to his father when it's tough. Let me give you another reason why you should do this. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 3. Here's how it says. Blessed be God, the Father of all mercy and the Father of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, so that we may be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What I want you to get out of this passage is that our Father is called the God of all comfort. And when someone speaks against you, you know what you need more than anything else? You need an offsetting affirmation. You need an offsetting comfort. You need an offsetting consolation. Don't go looking for it anywhere else. You probably won't find it. When people speak against you, and they use words.
We give ourselves to prayer. Because in that union with God, what they're saying and doing is minimal, it's diminished, it pales into insignificance by comparison. I love Jesus, and I love the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you one of the things I like about the Holy Spirit . And there isn't anybody on this planet who has ever walked this planet who knew the Holy Spirit better than Jesus. Because you see, the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And Jesus defined the Holy Spirit as a comfort. When the comforters come. How long will you proceed with bearing burden before you go to the comforter? If you wait too long, you will get unduly beat up. Are you all listening to me? You get beat up. You can get beat up so bad that you'll begin to agree with your enemy. And you will start to self-accuse and self-condemn. Use distress and use the opposition and use the evil speaking against you as a signal to get to God and shut yourself in with Him. Allow this blessed Comforter to get in where no one else can reach and touch where no one else can touch, and let Him heal you. Because then you'll be able to fight better tomorrow. Because then you can go back to the front line again and again and again. Because He's the God of all mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts you in your tribulation. Knowing what I have just said to you is not sufficient. You must do it. You must do it. So, one of our talking points is simply this. The right response when people speak against you is to pray. And then, use your talking skills . What talking skills? The other 42 points you've already learned. They are your talking skills. They're the talking points. They are the principles on how to talk. Learn them. Learn them well. Practice them. And then use these talking skills to encourage people. You know, I remember Billy Graham. There's a number of things that Billy Graham has said in his life that have, when he said them, have stuck to my soul.
When I was in college, a rare opportunity came my way. I was given a scholarship by Billy Graham Association, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. They paid my airfare from Toronto to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and paid my hotel bill and all my meals for a week. A scholarship to attend the Billy Graham School of Evangelism. I was so grateful for that. And, of course, Graham has left an indelible impression on America. But I want to tell you one of the sentences he said that struck me. Here it is. He said, "I have never known God to use a discouraged Christian." Not much good can come out of this condition of discouragement. Discouragement is a condition that should not frequently occur in the life of the follower of Jesus. Rather, the design of God in His Word, in what Jesus did on the cross and His resurrection subsequently, and the working of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures and all these things are all designed to lift us up, to encourage, to establish. God doesn't go around squishing people. He doesn't stomp on people. He's not an oppressor. Rather, He is a liberator. God comes and, in fact, sets rules on the church. And the rules on the church says, are you ready? Let everything be done unto edification. Everything is designed to build you up. There is an enemy who wants to put you down, but it's not God. It's really important that you know that. Now, as we learn to speak the way He speaks, talk the way He talks, it's a matter of great import that we learn to edify those with whom we speak, so we build them up. And let's look at a few of those scriptures. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. The only cure for a heart that is stooping is a good word. A good word makes it glad. You can change now. I'm looking for a word. Here it is. You can change the posture of a person's heart by the words you speak. You can change the posture. Instead of a heart that stoops, then how can you tell when a person's heart stoops? You know, there's a lot of body language that gives away the heart. People who walk with their head down. It is more than a physical posture. It is a psychological situation. It is a spiritual condition. And God wants, remember, power of death and life is in the tongue. A good word is what changes the posture of a person's heart. Let's look at a couple more verses. Thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Pure. But let me talk about that for a moment because that's kind of important. Pure. Has to do with transparent. There's no other stuff in there that you're afraid people will see because it's pure. We're going to see a whole lot about transparent. Let me see. Let me take a look at the clock. Oh, my goodness. Who said we should only go to 8 o'clock? No. The preacher did. He must keep his word. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Look at this. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And everywhere we go, we should be using our talking skills to bring this sweetness to the souls and the health to the bones. The opposite to this, Scripture says that bitterness dries the bone. Huh? The opposite to the bitter here is pleasant. Pleasant words. Oh, dearly beloved, I want you to get emotional strength here. I want you to meditate on pleasant things, pleasant words, pleasant thoughts. Or if we will do that, our bones will have health. I want you to be emotionally strong. I want you blessed. I want you stable. I want you confirmed in your sanity. I want your soul to be in health. So that you don't teeter. One moment, have a high that's pleasant, and next, have devastation and discouragement. And that's why pleasant words are such an important part of this. Learning to speak skillfully, words of encouragement. Word fitly spoken. So it must be the right word, and it must be spoken the right way. Like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Let me see if I want to conclude on this number 44 tonight. We're not going to get to the end of this, but we're going to get to 44 at least. Talking points. Avoid secret conversations. Now, I spoke a moment ago about transparency. And I want to warn you now that if something is secret almost entirely throughout the Bible, if it's secret, it's evil. Avoid secret conversations. In fact, there's this wonderful definition of discretion. Do not say or do in private what you would not want to explain in public. Do not say or do in private what you would not want to explain in public. Now, we live in the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. Why is it that men do not want to come to the light? Because their deeds will be revealed. Because in darkness, secret things are done. But in the kingdom of God, there are no secrets. We live absolutely transparent lives. Now, I'm going to take you through a few verses about this because this idea is probably foreign. I doubt if maybe there are some here who have heard this before. I have never. So let's look at some of these scriptures. Curse not the king. Look, now watch this now. Don't curse the king. Now watch this. Look at this. No, not in thy thoughts. Don't even do it in your thinking. And curse not the rich in your bedroom. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. No secret conversations. Because it won't stay a secret. Did you know that it's God's full intention to reveal all the secret things? Anything that's done in secret is referred to in the scriptures as an evil. Well, we'll look at some of these. Here in Romans, you're familiar with this passage. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and they were filled with all kinds of unrighteousness. And isn't this interesting that in the list is whispers? Now people whisper because they don't want other people to hear. It's a secret thing. And the Bible speaks against whispering. Because in whispering, let's look at another one. And in this list, lest there be, and then there's a list of things. Whisperings. Words spoken in secret. And you don't want to say anything in secret that you would not want to explain publicly. Here's why. God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of light. And if there is no evil, and there isn't in the kingdom of God, then why would anyone be fearful about having the thoughts and the intents of their heart disclosed or publicly observed? So that's why we practice this rule of discretion, which is to not say in private what we would not like to explain in public. Now, I'm really going to meddle this for a minute. You can leave church, get in the car, and father can say to mother, once you're out of earshot. Got it. Thank you. Now, I knew something wrong with that. Once you're out of earshot, right? The tendency is to say things different than you would have said within earshot. Your opinion about the sermon. Got you. Your opinion about the pastor. Your opinion about the singers. Your opinion about somebody who's in the church. And you can carry on this hypocrisy in front of your children to their undoing. In other words, we have learned to have a public opinion and a private opinion. And they may not be even close to one another. And there is great damage to this. Because the stuff that we say in secret, the whisperings, wouldn't say it out loud in front of the pastor, wouldn't say it in front of, you know, whatever. Husbands, listening for a minute. You should not have an opinion out of earshot of your wife that you don't have within earshot of your wife. Hello. Wives should not ever tell an opinion about their husband to someone else that's different than their opinion that they've shared with him. To live with such whispering, to live with such evil, to live with such hypocrisy has many dynamics that are ruinous built into it. Being a Christian has an awful lot to do with becoming a transparent person. That what you see is what you get. That there are no cloaked words. There's no conniving. There's no hypocrisy. There's no covert agenda. There's no secondary motive. Real. So, God says, every secret thing is going to be brought to judgment. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And now, the startling part of the scripture to me is the next phrase. So take heed how you hear. Because you may not be the whisperer, but you may be the whispered to. No secret conversation. Never saying in private what you would not want to explain in public. Oh my. Jesus exemplified this. I spake openly to the world. I taught in the synagogue, in the temple. Look at what Jesus said. In secret, have I said nothing. No secret conversations. Because whatever is done in secret comes of evil. Yeah. God shall judge the secrets of men. According to the gospel that Paul preached by Jesus Christ, judge the secrets of men. Well, you know, let me not say much more. Let's end there tonight because our time is up. And next Wednesday night, we really probably will get to the end. My opinion about you to your face should be the same as my opinion about you behind your back. And if it is not, then there's something majorly wrong with me. I have learned to talk hypocritically. I hope you wrote down that definition of discretion. Not saying or doing in private what I would not want to explain in public. You'll never be snared with the words of your mouth. You will be an authentic person. For real. Genuine. I guess no one knows how authentic we are as well as our children and as we who live together in family. And it's really important to have integrity. What is integrity? Except that what I am in private, I am in public. What I am in public, I am in private. And this must be true of our talk as well as our conduct. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.